a cultural reference point. Right? A lot of times people come over to your own planes. Look at those Orthodox Jews. Look at those ultra-Orthodox Jews. The way they're behaving on the plane, the way they're bumping and pushing. And so first of all, I'm an ultra-Orthodox Jew. don't say, look at those. I'm an ultra-Orthodox Jew. Second of all, is I understand that it's justifying conduct and you're generalizing, but I just sometimes feel that our sense of space is a little bit different from their sense of space. The only bench, right? You have your own room, right?
Yeah.
And you like your pet, you have a pet, right? Okay, so it's a good thing you're not a Haredi, because you'd be living with 14 people in your room. Maybe you'd have a goldfish, maybe, and a little cup. That's a lifestyle, and the pros and the cons could be debated, but it's an amazing, amazing to see people who are so committed to Talmud Torah. They're willing to live like that and live 14 people in a house that's the size, half the size of this room. And it's tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. You could agree or disagree. But that just means that if you're living five people in a room, you're going to be on top of each other all the time, hitting, bumping, moving. And when you're on a plane, so bumping, moving, hitting is not rude. For us, it's rude. For us, when we bump and hit and push, it's because we live in our rooms, in our space, in our base medrash, in our nylons, and we have a lot. We live in large space. That's just a question of trying to understand the cultural context of people whose behavior you don't always easily understand. To put yourself in their shoes, it may not come across the same way. So when you see Rabbanim acting that way, I was trained to be low-key, to dress low-key, not to ask for things, to sit in the back of the base medrash, take care of myself. That's why I was saying. That's why I saw in Ravaran. Ravaran never asked anyone. And by and large, that's the way most Rabbanim are today. Most of the rabbis you had in high school did not say, oh, come and polish my shoes and come and get the wagon ready and come and get the horses. But in other theaters, it was appropriate. But you have to be really careful. If you're smart enough, you can read between the lines. Sometimes it's about me and about the title and about I need to be on the video and I need to give the shiur and I need to try to find people. It's not about them. They'd be very happy. You know, I'd be the happiest person alive if I could retire to my clover field, learn Gemara all day and think. If I knew that all the jobs that I try to do were done by other people, it would make me a very happy person. I was once on this panel of Rabbanim, and they asked me, it was like a whole panel conversation, if you could have a one-hour conversation with someone on a bench, who would it be? Like, he's really high for learning. He answered the Ramban, he answered Shimon Bar Yochai, and he answered. So I could spend an hour on a bench talking to someone like it's Pasha, my wife. I'd be happy. Rabbi Lisa and talking on her bench, I'm the happiest person alive. And that's the right answer. Like you have to have inner contentment. You have to be content always in life. Always in life. You have to be content with what you have in your heart and in your life. The rest is just trapping. Some people, you know, they have to conquer the world in order to be happy, in order to feel satisfied. And those are very dangerous people. Those people are called megalomania. You know, they need your approval. They need your adjuration. They need you to like them. And you get into some very, very dangerous relationships that way, those toxic relationships. So try to find people who are humble. I'm not going to embarrass just looking at some of the people you've had in your lives and trying to think, I don't want to say this name, that name. Baruch Hashem, I could think of some of the Rebbeim that are standing behind you. Well, those types of people. It wasn't about them, it was about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Laman Hashem, lo lamaneinu, and they tried to be machanachim. But that's not the pasuk I want to talk about. The next pasuk is, Ki karav elecha davar meod, beficha uvilvavcha lasosa. Let's see if he quotes it. Right, so Tar Tamura quotes the Gemara in Erevin Mendalid as follows. Arabi Yitzchak, Siv, ki karav elecha davar meod, beficha uvavcha lasosa. How do you make Torah close? How do you make Torah internalized? Like, how do you do it? So the Gemara says, "Bisman shebeficha v'vavcha lasasa," when you know how to learn it. I always get the question during interviews, not so much this year because they were Zoomified interviews. But what should my goal be in yeshiva? Should my goal be to improve my skills, or should my goal be to improve my love for learning? And I say, if you're asking that question, you're not going to succeed. They're interdependent. You can't have one without the other. If you have one, you'll have nothing. If you have two, you'll have both. If you don't love learning, I could be the best teacher in the world, which I am. I am the best teacher in the world, best skills, best methodology. Yeah, you'll learn. It's not going to sink in. It's not going to become part of your kishkas. If you don't see it as Dabar Hashem, if you aren't dedicated, if you don't stay up at night, if you don't work, I'm tired. I've been in yeshivas, guys. I've seen too many bright people that flame out, and I've seen people of average intelligence that just work and work and work and work and work, like the Nesiv. The story about the Nesiv, he was sitting in his room one night, I think it's in this book, and he was hearing his parents say, what are we going to do with our son Naftali? He doesn't have a good head on his shoulders. Maybe he'll become a cobbler. Maybe he'll become a shoe salesman. Maybe. Now, our other boys, they're headed for stardom. But poor Naftali, maybe he'll get something. Maybe he'll become a farmer. He'll be lucky. And he just cried and cried and cried all night. He said, I'm going to be that person. And he's just this incredible worker, incredible commitment, emotional investment. If it's not bilvavcha, it will never be beficha. You'll never be able to learn the right way. If it's not, and the reverse is also true. If it's not beficha, it's very hard to make it beficha. It's easy to say, I love Torah, because everyone's telling me I love Torah. But you have to see the godless things. You know how to learn Torah. And when you know how to learn Torah, and you learn, and any sefer is openable. Part of the goal is to make every sefer openable. You can open any sefer and learn it, and know it, and understand it, and dig deep into Torah and see the majesty and see the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will and feel like you're part of the Masara and feel like today, who is in the room with us and did we accept them? Did we not out of chasron disrespect, out of the greatest respect? Why would I spend 2 hours on a Friday morning half asleep talking about guys who lived 800 years ago? Because I love them to death. And if I have to be, if I love them and I have to be honest with them, if they were in the room, they would not be happy if I were intellectually dishonest. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. It'd slap me in the face. If I just read the Torah to me without asking the questions that I asked, Rabbi Baruch Epstein would come over to me, he'd take his bank gun, his pistol with me, he said, that's how you treat my Torah. You sit there and you just sit there and lie down and just say what I said. I didn't write it for that reason. I didn't write it because I want you to understand it. If you don't understand it, you have to pile and work and question. He'll make this mistake. Oh, I respect Tosfos so much, I'll never ask a question on Tosfos. Tosfos is pulling his hair out in Shemayim. If you respect me, understand me. And there's no way for you to understand me unless you ask questions. Respectfully, trying to understand, not trying to reject Chas V'Shalom, but I can't understand. And when I reach the end of my line, I say, you know what, I don't understand. Not that it doesn't make sense, I just can't understand it. But I have to reach that line. And I'm not honest, it's not authentic, it's not real. So part of bringing these Gedolim into this room and asking questions of them is not, oh, here's a Gadol, I'm a Gadol, you're a Gadol, it's Chas V'Shalom. No. If we take them seriously, we have to understand them. And there's only one route to real understanding. And it's not nodding your head. It's attack mode. Respectful attack mode. But it's, what does this mean? And you have to be willing to say, I don't need to understand it. Not because it's a flaw in them, but I don't need to understand it. So you need skills to have love. And you need love to have skills. And the next time someone asks you, maybe a younger classmate in Rambam or whatever, should I come to Grush or should I come to Israel? What do I want out of the year in Israel? Whatever. Got to have both. You got to know how to learn. You got to have people who teach you how to learn, teach you how to make your way through the godless of Torah. Then hopefully you fall in love with them. You fall in love with it. You'll learn more. You'll work harder. You'll see the beauty. You see this thing I want to commit my life to. It's really... So that's what the Gemara says. When is it karav elach adav miyad? Bitzman shebificha uvilvavcha lasos. It has to be ficha, the skills, levavcha. It's in your kishkes. It's not. I would say that those are two good agendas to work on this year. Everyone is walking into this yeshiva firm. No one is in this yeshiva if you're not firm. So the goal is not to make you firm. And you learn Torah in high school. It's to take this whole world of Avodas Hashem, massively pivot it on Torah, and put it into take it from the back burner to the front burner. In high school, very often it's in the background. Your real goals are everything else. And now just switch it around. Turn your life into a life of Torah, and then all your other goals become your goals because you're a Ben Torah, not alongside a Ben Torah. That's the funny part about it. I don't want you to give up anything. I just want you to reframe them. Yehuda, be an astronaut because you're a Talmud Chacham, and this feel is a Ratzon Hashem, and you're going to... It should stream through your Torah. It should stream through your Avodah Hashem. Not, I've got my Judaism, now I've got my life. Don't come to this yeshiva. Don't come to any yeshiva if you're looking for that schizophrenia or compartmentalization. Religion is everything. It's large enough to encompass everything. It's large enough to galvanize everything. And everything you do, do it. Because you're trying to find a Kaddish Baruch Hu in your personal way. Your way is different than your way, or different than your way, or different than your way. So we'll talk about the other passage maybe next week. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. So tonight you have a tish with Rabrin, right? I believe. Rabrin is the Chazan. Rabrin get him off the chazan part and ask him for Rav Amital stories. He is the world's expert on Rav Amital stories because he was Rav Amital's son-in-law. Is. So get him off the singing. I mean, he sings beautifully. Get him, like, pepper him with the Rav Amital stories. Make believe you had a press conference and after the team lost the seventh game. You don't let these athletes off the hook. What were you thinking when you passed the ball? Well, you know, it's all... No, but what were you thinking? Was, you know, be aggressive. Make believe your reporters for ESPN. You know, don't let the guy off, you know. Well, did you really want to take the last shot? Well, the coach said, no, but I've seen some of these sharks attack. You got to be sharks at the press conference. So tell us a Rav Amital story. First, let's say, no, I asked for a Rav Amital story. Tell me a Rav Amital story. Okay? And then tomorrow...